And your starting line is the Great American Northwest.
Kim, let's begin in the northwestern U.S. city of Portland, Oregon. That's where the 16th IAAF World Indoor Championships in Athletics officially opened Thursday at the Oregon Convention Center. For many of the athletes, the four-day competition is a tune-up for the Rio Olympics in August, but not for Russian athletes. They've been banned from Portland 2016 because of doping violations. The IAAF is not expected to decide whether to lift Russia's ban until the end of March at the earliest. If history is any indicator, look for the host United States to top the medals table in Portland. At the last World Indoor Championships, held in Poland in 2014, the Americans won the most medals, 12, including 8 gold. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out for 18-year-old American high jumper Vashti Cunningham, who will be competing at her first World Indoor Championships. Vashti is the daughter of former National Football League quarterback Randall Cunningham. 4 days ago at the same Oregon Convention Center in Portland, Vashti cleared 1.99 meters, a new world junior record, at the USA Indoor Track and Field Championships. It's also the best height by a woman this year. Vashti Cunningham will be using Portland 2016 as a springboard to what she hopes will be her first Olympics in Rio. And if you go to the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page, you can see a nice photo of Vashti clearing the bar. VOA! I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
What's better than the Sunny Side of Sports? More Sunny Side of Sports. Listen to our new expanded show now on VOA Africa.
And this VOA programming note, beginning March 21st, the Sunny Side of Sports will expand to 30 minutes daily, Monday through Friday. So be sure to tune in at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC for the newly expanded 30-minute Sunny Side of Sports, beginning March 21st. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Good evening, David.
Thank you, Sunny.
David, let's kick off with the CAF Champions League. And how about the recent results?
Yes, Sunny, we got last 32 first leg results. Zesco of Zambia, 4. Haroya of Guinea, 1. Al Ahly Tripoli of Libya, 1. Al Hilal of Sudan, 0. APR of Rwanda, 1. Young Africans of Tanzania, 2. Recreativo Libolo of Angola, 0. Al Ahly of Egypt, 0. Club Africain of Tunisia, 1. Mouloudia Bejaia of Algeria, 0. Stade Malien of Mali, 2. Cotton Spore of Cameroon, 0. Kaiser Chiefs of South Africa, 0. ASIC of Ivory Coast, 1. Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa, 2. AC Leopards of Congo Brazzaville, 0. Vida Casablanca of Morocco, 5. Knaps of Madagascar, 1. St. George of Ethiopia, 2. TP Mazembe of DRC, the holders, 2. Union Douala of Cameroon, 0. Zamalek of Egypt, 1. Etoile of Congo, Brazzaville, 1. Anton Satif of Algeria, 1. V Club of DRC, 1. Ferroviario Maputo of Mozambique, 0. Wari Wolves of Nigeria, 0. Almarek of Sudan, 1. Enyimba of Nigeria, 5. Vitalo of Burundi, 1. And finally, Olympic Kur'ibka of Morocco, 1. Etoile Sahel of Tunisia, 1. Well, Sunny, one that stands out immediately is Mazembe, the holders, being held to a 2-2 draw by St. George in Ethiopia. And another indication of the great support Ethiopians give football. This match was moved from Addis Ababa, which has a capacity national stadium of 30,000, to Bahir Dar. Now, Bahir Dar is a fairly new venue for African football. It's 700 kilometers north of Addis Ababa, And it's got a stadium that holds 60,000, and there was not a vacant seat in that stadium. A tremendous crowd, tremendous atmosphere. St. George took the lead. Ajay, the Ghanaian, who has been featuring regularly on the Sunny Side of Sport of late, he equalized on the stroke of half-time. An own goal put Mozambique ahead early in the second half. And then back came the Ethiopians to equalize on the hour mark, so a 2-2 draw. You would have to say, though, advantage Mozambique. This weekend, the return match at the Stade Mozambique in Lubumbashi, an artificial pitch, an 18,000-capacity crowd, and it would be a real shock if Mozambique did not go through to the last 16 stage. Nigerian clubs, mixed results. Wari Wolves going down 1-0 at home to Almarek. Almarek last season, semi-finalists, so not a huge surprise that. But nevertheless, from a Nigerian perspective, I think the belief was that Wari Wolves could build a lead of some sort at home. And you've got to say now that the Wolves are really up against it. They've got to go to Sudan and win there to try and qualify for the next stage. On the other hand, in Yimba, the African champions in 2003 and 2004, extremely impressive, slamming in 5 goals with just 1 conceded. And among those goals were 2 from Udo. He scored 2 in the preliminary round against the Vipers of Uganda, and now another 2, so he's one of the leading goal scorers. Needless to say, I think Enyimba can start planning for the next round. And it looks like, Sonny, that in that round, they'll face Etoile Sahel of Tunisia, the 2015 CAF Confederation Cup winners. Etoile going away to Morocco against Kour Ibga, taking the lead and finishing with a 1-1 draw. And that's been one of the secrets of success of Tunisian clubs and Egyptian clubs, too, down the years in the CAF club competitions. You go away, you score goals, you get at least a draw, and then you finish off the business at home. Also, mixed results for the South African clubs. An impressive 2-0 home victory for Mamelodi Sundowns over AC Leopards of Congo Brazzaville. Sundowns totally dominated the first half. The only surprise was that it took them 45 minutes to get in front. A superb goal from Keegan Dolly, a shot from outside the box. And then in the opening minutes of the second half, a Colombian, Leonardo Castro, doubled the lead. Leopards improved a bit after that, but it was Sundowns with the best chance of scoring a game when they were awarded a late penalty, but the Liberian Anthony Lafour had his shot saved. And that could yet be significant, because I feel with a 3-0 lead, Sundowns would have been just about home and dry. A 2-0 lead, they should scrape through. But Leopards are very tough at home. They've got a bone-hard pitch, which is not the sort of surface that South Africans, particularly teams like Sundowns, who like to play a passing game, are going to be comfortable on. But if Sundowns was celebrating victory, it was certainly doom and gloom in Soweto for Kaizer Chiefs. And Kaizer Chiefs officials like to tell us that their club is among the top clubs in the world of football, but I'm afraid their record in Africa suggests anything but. They've never qualified for the group stage of the Champions League, and it certainly doesn't look like they're going to make it this year either. AFC Mimosas of Ivory Coast, their opponents, are a pale shadow of the side that conquered Africa way back in 1998, and there was a confidence that Chiefs could build a first-leg lead. But that confidence proved ill-founded, because AFC took an early second-half lead from a corner. Bakayoko nodded the ball into the net. ASEC then successfully defended their lead for a 1-0 away victory. And now they must be firm favourites to at least draw the second leg in Abidjan this weekend and go through to the last 16. Egypt have 2 powerful contenders. It's Al Ahly and Zamalek. And they will be quite satisfied with their away results. Al Ahly went to Lobolo of Angola and forced a 0-0 draw. And that was certainly a come down for Lobolo, who had scored 5 goals at home in the preliminary round. That, incidentally, Sonny, was the debut match for the new Al Ahly coach, Martin Yole, formerly the manager of Tottenham Hotspur and Fulham in the English Premier League. Zamalek, they went to Cameroon and they did even better. They won 1-0 away to Union Douala, the only goal coming from the Burkina Faso defender, Mohamed Koffi, after 59 minutes. And Zamalek's new coach is the former manager of Aston Villa and Birmingham City, the Scot Alec McLeish. So we've got a very strong EPL influence at the moment in the top Cairo clubs.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. The VOA's social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski, joins us once again in our Washington studios. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
What's trending on this Wednesday in the sports world?
Well, something that's trending that we were talking about, I believe that you've had an athlete reach out to you on Twitter. You were tweeting at them. They liked something that you tweeted. So tell us a little bit about this.
I like to be put on the spot, Andrew. Vashti Cunningham, who I mentioned earlier, I sent out a tweet saying she's one of the American athletes to watch at the upcoming IAAF World Indoor Championships, which get underway on Thursday in Portland. And sure enough, Vashti saw the tweet and she responded with a like. I like those likes, Andrew.
Like the likes, absolutely. she's at Vash Tizzle underscore on Twitter. So yeah, that was great that she reached out to you like that, you know, showing again how athletes are using social media to reach out to fans and journalists and all kinds of people out there in the social media world.
And she has a very interesting background, doesn't she, Andrew?
She does. So she has, her father is Randall Cunningham, who was a former NFL quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Cowboys, Baltimore Ravens,
great
athlete. Vikings. An amazing athlete. And as we were just talking, her mother is a South African dancer or ballerina.
Dancer, ballerina. Okay.
So with parents like that, how can you not be good at sports, right? You know, she's got the force and the power from her father and the agility and conditioning maybe from her mother. So, and that's why she's doing so well in this competition, I'm sure.
And we'll be watching her in Portland as well as the other athletes. Should be a great competition. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, we have the NCAA tournament is coming up. It's actually kicking off with the full 64 teams tomorrow. We did the play-in games over the past couple nights. And so as part of this kickoff for March Madness, Twitter has announced they're doing a couple different emojis that are going to pop up when you use certain hashtags for March Madness. So today is the day I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay.
For everything. So I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to describe, obviously, our listeners can't see what they look like, but I'm going to do my best to describe what they look like.
And I'll give you my hashtag.
And you're going to see, and you're going to guess and see which hashtag they line up with. So
okay.
Some of them are easier than others. I'll kind of walk you through some of them. But, all right. So the first one is the icon is like a little bracket. So you have the successive kind of going down the little, where the team names would be winnowing down. So that's the first emoji. So what do you think that lines up with?
Hashtag madness.
I will give you credit for that. It's hashtag March Madness.
March Madness.
March
okay.
Madness, yes. Now, the next one is that same bracket, but it's got a kind of a line down the middle. It's in two pieces.
Okay.
So what would that be?
Hashtag Sweet 16? No.
So that one, it's easier if you see it. So I'll give you partial credit because actually Sweet 16 is one of them, and we'll get to that in a second. But this one is hashtag bracket busted.
Bracket busted. So, of course, that's mine already, Andrew.
As people fill out the brackets, of course, you know, in the first round even, you know, if you don't pick the right upsets, your bracket can be done. Especially some years when some of the top teams lose in the first or second round, people's brackets are busted. So that one's going to be, we're going to see a lot of that maybe on Friday, Saturday, Sunday as the tournament progresses.
Okay.
So the next one is it looks like a high-heeled shoe and it's got some kind of sparkly things around it.
I got that one. Hashtag Cinderella.
Absolutely. For the Cinderella teams, like we talked about yesterday.
One of the
Davidson.
Cinderella teams.
Exactly. Like Davidson in 2008 with Steph Curry, his team was a 10 seed. They went to the Elite Eight, a Cinderella team, as they call it, because it's a fairy tale story.
Now, it's not a Cinderella team, Andrew, but Yeheus is on your right now. Mm-hmm. He's not picking Kansas, Andrew. He's got another team in mind.
Michigan.
Who do you like, Yeheus?
Michigan. Yes.
And to be fair, I did pick Michigan as one of the upsets, not to go all the way, but at least to do well and get through a couple rounds. So.
So Yeheus likes them lifting the trophy.
I think so. The coach is behind them.
So we'll skip through a couple of them are pretty obvious. There's a number 8 that's for hashtag Elite Eight. There's a 16 on top of a cupcake for, of course, hashtag Sweet 16.
I like those.
And then there's a basketball icon for the Final Four and for the hashtag national championship, there's the NCAA trophy that one of those teams will be lifting. But I'll give you the one last one. This is a very tricky one. It's two pairs of sneakers, and they kind of look like they're moving a little bit.
Hashtag championship game? Hashtag, I don't know.
It's a tough one. It's hashtag let's dance. Of course, the NCAA tournament's known as the Big Dance. And a lot of teams will be dancing starting tomorrow.
Let's dance. Nothing but net. And